Hello, friends, and welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and a happier place. And I know with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a better place. Before we start, I'd like to thank everyone's support for this radio program because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the top of the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. I really appreciate all your wonderful help and support because I know together we can create a much better and happier world. I also want to tell you I have a television program called Out of This World TV, which broadcasts three times a week on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays on Channel 22 in the lower Puget Sound Seattle area. The show is also available on YouTube, either under my name, Ted Marr, M-A-H-R, or Out of This World. There are now almost 50 available episodes on YouTube. With that, I'd like to mention a few events coming up. We'll have a wonderful psychic fair called the Cosmic Awareness Fair happening in Olympia, Washington on Saturday, January 20th, from about 10 a.m. to 4 or 5 in the afternoon. There will be over 24 different vendors ranging from psychic readers, crystal shops, bookstores, astrologists, and all kinds of spiritual people. Admission's free, and there will also be a series of free lectures throughout the day, including myself, where I'll be giving a presentation on the beautiful Modal Peace Project, which teaches little children between the ages of 3 and 12 the valuable lessons of love and gratitude. The theory is that if we teach these children love and gratitude, then when they're adults, they hopefully will want to make this world a much better and happier place. We have a whole bunch of books now printed in Japan, beautiful children's books, but we need some help on shipping costs. And for those who'd like to donate toward the shipping of these books, it's not going to cost a lot. Please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Or you can send a donation to me, Ted Marr, P.O. Box 5331, Lacey, Washington, 98509. And I'll donate, and 100% of all donations will be given to the Modal Peace Project. Also, I want to tell you that if anyone out there has frequent flyer miles on the airlines and who would like to donate them, we have Michiko Hayashi is scheduled to give some presentations here in North America next year, and if you could donate your frequent flyer miles so she could fly here and give those presentations, that would be really wonderful. If you can do that, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me on my cell at 509-750-9793 or toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339. Tomorrow, I'll be at the Crystal Voyage Bookstore and Spiritual Center in Tacoma on 38th and Cedar, just down the street from the Tacoma Mall, tomorrow from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Seattle time. And if you're there in the area, please stop by the presentation. I'll be giving a presentation on my book, Messages from the Masters. I'll also have copies of my book, too, I'll be autographing, and I hope you can all come by. 1 week from today, on November 3rd, I'll have a very special show with Judy Calley. And some other psychics will be talking to President John F. Kennedy on what was left out of the documents released by President Trump yesterday. President Trump has only released a small fraction of the thousands of papers of documents being held by the government, even though the assassination happened 54 years ago. I don't know how you all feel about that, but I'm not very happy that they're still holding documents that I think the American public and the world has a right to know what they say. So next week, I'll be bringing in President Kennedy, and he's promised to tell us exactly what's in those other documents, which are being hidden by our government and not released. This should be a very, very, very interesting show. With that, what I'd like to do is bring in my good friend Carolyn White. She's been in and out of the hospital recently. And when I asked everyone to send lots of love and light to her last Friday and the Friday before, she felt it, she said, and this beautiful white light coming in. So I want to bring in Carolyn now for a few minutes to talk about her condition and see how she's doing. Carolyn, how are you doing today?
Thank you very much, Ted, and all of your listeners. I'm actually doing quite well. I'm improving every day, and I so from my heart appreciate the outpouring of love and positive healing energy. It's been quite an experience for me. It's almost like a shamanistic journey. I was in a coma for 5 days, and what I experienced just reaffirms that when you pour out love and you give without any expectation of receiving, you get that energy back tenfold. And mm-hmm. also, what I saw is that this the energetic web of people sending me all this beautiful, loving, healing energy, that not only were they connecting with me and helping me, they're also connecting with everyone else out there mm-hmm. that is putting out this energy, putting forth this energy. And it's the synergy that the, the sum is greater than all of the part. So I'm just, from my heart, I just thank everyone, because without my your support and the support of my my spiritual friends, I don't think that I would be here right now talking to you, because like I said, it's been quite a quite an experience. I was kind of confounded. The doctors, Jerry said that, part of the problem that I had is a massive infection in my abdominal area. And something like that, of course, if it's not caught in time, can be fatal and have a take a long time to get rid of. Well,
pardon me for interrupting, Carolyn, but I think, one of your doctors say, "I'm surprised you're alive"? Something
yes,
like that.
Oh, yes. Yes. One of the surgical teams came in afterwards and said, "You're so superior to all of us. You know, I'm surprised that you're still alive." And the my main surgeon was that when they were wanting to remove the get rid of the infection, the infected area, it only took, I think, what was it, overnight? That, she phoned Jerry the next morning and said, "I don't know how this has happened, but her infection is completely gone."
Yeah, that was just amazing. That was just amazing. I want everyone listening around the world to please now send lots of love and light to Carolyn. She's a wonderful person. Both her and her husband are wonderful people. And I know that your love and light will really, really help her. And she's having a good, steady recovery. She's expected to make a full recovery. I know that love and light, according to my good friend Professor Einstein, that love is the most powerful force and important force in the universe. And with love and light, anything can be accomplished. So if you could all send Carolyn just a minute to hear of love and light to her and help her feel better.
Oh, thank you so, so much. And I think the most important thing, again, is that when you're connecting with that energy, and this is what I was told, is that it's all about respect, it's all about forgiveness, it's all about the love and gratitude, and to be thankful, and also, acceptance, but to have every day and everything that you say and do is mm-hmm. to show kindness. Right. And I think that is just so important. So when you connect with that energy, when you're connecting with me, you're connecting with everybody else that's on that same vibrational page.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Carolyn, I'm going to be talking about Peru and Machu Picchu now, but I don't know if you're up to it, but you're welcome to keep on the line in case you'd like to channel any messages from the other side. But I know you're weakened and everything, so I don't want to keep you on if you're not feeling very well. So it's up to you.
I'm probably going to take my afternoon nap and soak in all of the love and light that I'm receiving
okay.
right now.
Good. Good. All right, Carolyn. Well, it's wonderful to have you on, and we'll be doing prayers again for you a week from today as well. And thank you so much for coming on. I'm so happy you're doing better, my friend.
Well, thank you, Ted, and I just really appreciate all of the wonderful energy of your listeners and blessings to everyone. And I was told that I can't leave now because I have too much work to do.
That's what I'm getting to. Right. They won't let you pass on to the other side. Not yet. Sorry.
No, not yet.
To hang around.
Sorry.
Yeah,
you have to stay here.
Great. Great, Carol. Well, have a beautiful day, and thank you so much for coming on. I'm so glad you're feeling better.
Thank you so much, Ted. Love to everyone.
Okay, thank you so much, Carolyn.
Okay, yeah.
Wonderful. Well, I'm so glad. Thank you again, everyone, so much for sending her lots of love and light. I'm so glad she's feeling better. Recently, about 2 weeks ago, I came back from an incredible trip to Peru. I visited Machu Picchu, which is considered one of the world's most, one of the seven wonders of the world. Another place called if I pronounce this correctly, Ollantaytambo. I hope I did that right. It's an incredible, beautiful, ancient Inca village on the side of a mountain on the way to Machu Picchu. You should see the way it's built. This mountain range must be at about 5,000 feet, but yet the ancient Inca, what they did is that they built these terraces going up the mountain, dozens of terraces that they use for cultivation for growing vegetables and fruits and all kinds of things. As well, I visited Cusco. We talked about that during the last hour. That's the it was the spiritual center today. I think it's the spiritual center of Peru. When you fly into Cusco, your vibrations go way, way up, and I think it's from the Inca influence. Also visited the fascinating Nazca lines, where I saw pictures of extraterrestrials and astronauts. Then I visited another ancient Indian community called the Chowchilla people, where they had elongated skulls and mummies. Then I visited finally a museum, a place called Paracas, which is a beautiful seaside city on the coast of Peru. That's where Brian Forster, I just interviewed him during the last hour. And as well as the beautiful Ballestas Islands, which are much like the famous Galapagos Islands, but they're much easier to get to. They're just so full of wildlife. I took a boat trip out there and saw all kinds of pelicans and birds and sea lions and wildlife. It's an incredible place. I want to tell everyone I had such a wonderful time that I'm going back to Peru again from January 23rd to February 7th, 2018. And this time I'll be taking a group with me. The cost is just $350 per person. The airfare and combinations are extra, but for that, I'll be happy to guide you to some of the world's most fascinating and incredible spiritual places and help arrange all transportation and accommodations, as well as give free psychic readings, including chattel messages directly from the ancient Incas. When I was there a couple of weeks ago, I met three different psychics, including several local Inca shaman and other psychics, and we'll be meeting those in Cusco when we're there. And if time, I will also love to introduce you to Brian Forrester, who does live he spends his time between Paracas and Cusco. The other thing that I'm arranging currently is that when we're in Cusco, we'll be having a private concert with some incredibly talented and famous Andean musicians who will be playing some really beautiful Andean Inca flute music for us at the end of January. With that, what I'd like to do is to play El Condor Paso, if we could, Eric, just a few minutes of that to set the next tone of the program. We could play that now. That'd be wonderful. Thank you. Thank
and
you.
So
well, we'll get that here. Here we go. Thank you. Isn't that beautiful music? That's indigenous to the Cusco and the Andean Inca area of Peru. Currently, as far as the costs go, you can do the entire trip now for about $1,000. And I mention that because the airlines currently are having a sale of, I think I saw one fare recently for $365 from Vancouver, Canada, round trip to Lima. Another fare I saw was $411 on United from Seattle down to Lima. Another fare from Los Angeles I saw less than $400. So normally these airfares can run as high as $1,200 to $1,500, but they're having a seat sale now. And when we go down there at the end of January and February, of course, that's their getting toward the end of their summer season. So the weather will be good. And I think it's an opportunity of a lifetime if you'd like to see one of these incredible wonders of the world. We'll be going to Machu Picchu, another town called Ollantaytambo, Cusco, Lake Titicaca, and a famous place called the Rainbow Mountain. It's a mountain. It takes a day trip to get there outside of Cusco. And when you stand at the top of this mountain, you'd literally see about 8 to 10 different colors, and it's all made of crystals. It's an amazing sight, and I think it's the only one in the world. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's an easy day trip from Cusco to go there, and we will be going there. One of the things that I did when I was there is that I spent a day walking around Machu Picchu. I was probably there 7 or 8 hours. And as a psychic, what I would do is talk to the ancient Inca spirits and put my hand on the rock there and then get messages. And what I'd like to do now is to play the recording that I made when I was at Machu Picchu. It's not very long, but I think you'll find it interesting. And I'd like to play that now, and it lasts about 7 minutes, and I'll come back on the air.
Hello, friends. I'm in Machu Picchu today in Peru. And wow, what an incredible place. This is such a beautiful place, and it's up at about the 8,000 or 9,000 foot level. I'm getting messages from the Inca spirits now, and I can see their civilization. I can see a lot of men, these beautiful beautiful dress they have on, and especially all these beautiful feathers. And they're so happy that they protected this area. When they left back in the 15th century, they put a spiritual shield around this city so that the Spanish couldn't find it. And it actually wasn't discovered until an American found it in 1911 named Hiram Bingham. But they did that intentionally because they knew that if they didn't do that, the Spaniards were soon coming and they would have pillaged and destroyed the entire civilization. Being up here is so peaceful, and it's amazing to think that the Inca were able to craft all these rocks in perfect order to make all these buildings, walkways, entryways for their people. The elevation here is very high, yet they were able to build all these terraces, both for stabilizing the hillside and also for agriculture. Even with our so-called modern technology today, I doubt if we could possibly replicate such a beautiful city at this level. There were several places here I visited earlier today, and one was called the Three Windows. And the Three Windows corresponded to the middle window corresponded to our existence on this level, where the first world corresponded to the underworld, and the last window on the right corresponded to the world in the heavens above. There was also another beautiful room where they had bowls that looked like they were made for water. And in the bowls were maybe about 24 inches, 2 feet across. And when the water was in these bowls, they said you could look up in the sky, and they used it for astrological and astronomy purposes. I see a lot of people planting and tending to the gardens, corn, sweet potatoes. They call corn, of course, maize here. And all kinds of vegetables and flowers everywhere. The people were very, very happy. And they were also very spiritually evolved. They thought that all of the plants and the trees and the animals and the stars and the sun and the moon and the earth and the water, all the elements of this planet and other all living beings should be worshipped, and everything had a spirit in them, much like Shintoism in Japan, where people there believe that everything has a spirit. I asked my Inca spirit friends, how did they make these beautiful stones fit so well and perfectly, like exactly how they did the pyramids in Egypt? And he said that they did it through their thought and singing. When they sung to the stones and sent good positive thoughts, they could create reality, and they could create whatever shape, form, the stones they needed to make their monuments, bridges, and housing. In one part of Machu Picchu, they had two bowls of water, which they used. They were placed in the ground. They used these bowls of water to look up at the stars at night, which is just amazing. It's a natural way to look at the stars. And my Inca spirit friends, now I'm talking to as I make this recording, tell me that they actually knew more about astronomy than we do today. Isn't that amazing? Even though you can't tell it, but astronomy, being part of the planet and being part of the universe and the galaxy, was all part of their worldview. Thus, pollution didn't make any sense to them, because they said, if you pollute the world, you're hurting yourself, because we're all part of that. I'm at a place now where they did mummification of people, and there's a huge rock right in front of the area where these mummies were that looks like a condor. In front of it, there's a smaller figure that they call Isis, just like the Isis in Egypt. There's a lot of similarities, some say, between this civilization here and the one in Egypt. And also I can feel the spirits of the Incas here, and I get a feeling of sadness, and the sadness, I think, comes from the fact that much of their civilization was plundered and destroyed by the Spanish when they came. But fortunately, the Incas did spiritually protect their city when they left, so that the Spanish could not plunder and destroy it. I'm now at a sacred springs, which were used by the ancient Inca for ceremonial purposes, and I can feel their energy around me. And in honor of these beautiful Inca, and also in honor of Dr. Masurimoto, I'd like to say this water prayer now, and please say it after me when you hear it. Water, we're sorry. Water, we're sorry. Water, please forgive us. Water, we love you, and water, we thank you. Twice more. Water, we're sorry. Water, please forgive us. Water, we love you, and water, we thank you. And one more time. Water, we're sorry. Water, please forgive us. Water, we love you, and water, we thank you. This was Dr. Masurimoto's favorite prayer based upon the Ho'oponopono in Hawaii. The ancient Indian Incas are coming through to me now here at Machu Picchu in Peru, and they're telling me that the lesson for us, humanity today, is to learn to respect not only Mother Earth, but also our fellow human beings and all plant and animal life. This is something that we've lost over the centuries, and certainly earlier, I walked through an area where there are a lot of mummies which have been stored, and I got a great deal of sadness. And the sadness I got from being there is a sadness from the destruction, of course, by the Spanish when they came in and obliterated many native cultures in Central and South America. And that kind of behavior is still continuing on the planet, although many people are waking up, and I know we're going to turn this planet around. You know, there's enough abundance on this planet for everyone, both spiritually, economically, and materially, and we don't have to destroy the planet in order to gain material wealth. We can gain spiritual wealth and be far happier than we are today. That's the message from the ancient Incas.
Hello, friends. I hope you like that. That was recorded at Machu Picchu a few weeks ago when I was there, and I didn't remember everything I said, but it just kind of came through me for messages. What's fascinating about Machu Picchu is that it was constructed, they believe, back in the middle of the 15th century at a height of about 8,000 feet above sea level, but it wasn't discovered by the Spanish or anyone until 1911, when there was a gentleman, I believe his name was Hiram Bingham, on an exploration looking for another lost city. I actually stumbled across Machu Picchu with the help of a 12-year-old boy who knew where it was. And since that time, it's been protected, and now it's what's interesting is, like, 1.2 million people visit Machu Picchu a year currently, and to show you how that shows you how popular it is. And this has been a recent change, because as recently as is like 1985. They told me when I was there that only 100,000 people visited Machu Picchu every year, but now it's gone like 12 times that, because it's people, I think, going there, they're interested in spiritual, in developing the spiritual side of their life. And when you're there, you feel your vibrations go way, way up. And it's a beautiful place. You can see for miles throughout the whole area. And I hope you can all come on this wonderful trip. We'll be leaving on the 27th. If you can't leave for the whole time, then you're welcome to come for part of it or any part of it. One of the most interesting things is that you go up there and the rock itself, all the rocks are held together, and they're made in these square and rectangular patterns, but we don't have the technology currently to do that kind of rock work now. And so you wonder how they did it, and they did it, I was told by my Inca friends, through people's mind. Later, after I left Machu Picchu, I went down to a place called the Nazca Lines. Now, Nazca Lines, we talked a little bit about earlier. They're in a very high plateau, and they are a United Nations World Heritage Site. They've been that way since 1994. The plateau stretches more than 50 miles between the towns of Nazca and Papa. In the area, it's a very, very dry area, and the lines were thought to be created by the Nazca culture between 500 BC and 500 AD. They vary in complexity. There's hundreds of simple lines and geometric shapes. There's designs of animals such as birds, fish, llamas, jaguars, and monkeys, and human figures. And there's also an astronaut there as well. It's too bad you can't see it on the radio here, but on my website, I'll try to get it posted up on the www.outofthisworld1150.com website, so you can see the picture of the astronaut. But actually, on the side of a mountain in the Nazca Lines, there's an outline of an astronaut waving as if to welcome the extraterrestrial visitors. I found Brian Forrester's discussion of it during the last hour to be really incredibly interesting, because he talked about how the Paracas culture was decimated by the Nazcas, Nazca Indians who came in, but they both did these drawings in the area. Now, what's interesting is that when you drive through the air, there's two ways to see the Nazca lines yourself. You can either get on a plane, which I did, and fly over the lines where you can see them very clearly, or the second way is to drive on the Pan American Highway, and it's about a half hour outside of Nazca, and you go up to this tower, and the tower maybe is about 100, 150 yards tall, and you can go up to the top of the tower and look out and see the lines. You can't see all of them from the tower, but you can see quite a few of them. For many years, people there didn't even know they existed. The Spanish first discovered them in 1553, and they mistook them for trail markers, and it wasn't until 1927 that the Peruvian authorities, the Peruvian government, actually discovered the lines. And finally, a historian named Paul Kozak, a historian from Long Island University, is credited as the first scholar to seriously study the Nazca lines in 1940 to 41, in the middle of World War II. But with that, I've got a recording that I made of being at the Nazca lines here. And I hope you find it interesting. It's a couple of minutes long, but I discuss the lines and being there, and I'll play that for you now.
Hello, friends. I'm here at the Nazca Lines in Peru, and it's just incredible being here. I'm at the top of this tower. I'm about, must be about easy 120, 150, 200 feet above the ground. And I can see these incredible drawings, miles and miles, of all these different figures in the desert here. They've been here for thousands of years. And I'm meditating now. And the message I'm getting from the spirit world is that these drawings of different animals and monkeys and different figurines were actually essentially a way to signal extraterrestrial visitors coming to this planet as beacons for them to come down and find their way to their landing spot here in the area of the Nazca, where the Nazca lines are. It's a very, very dry area here. It's a high desert area where it gets very hot during the year. And so it's a beautiful place. And in a few minutes, I'll be taking a flight over these Nazca lines, which extend for I don't know how many hundreds of miles. And then I'll give you a full report as soon as I lift off into the air. I'm standing at the edge of the Nazca lines now, and it is so beautiful. I'm up at, I moved to a new location, to a small mountain where I climbed to the top, and you can just see for miles and miles and miles and miles. It's very dry here, and I think these lines are thousands and thousands of years old. It's an incredible, incredible scene from where I am right now. Being here is like being on the moon, because there's no plant, doesn't seem to be hardly any plant life, just rocks and miles and miles and miles of a very, very dry desert. The Nazca lines were actually only discovered during the last century, because you can only see this from way, way high up, thousands of feet above the surface. Can you only see the Nazca lines? But if you're right here on the surface, they're not as apparent. So obviously these lines must have been built for extraterrestrial craft or other entities flying into planet Earth as guideposts, I think, to land here on the planet. Hi friends, I'm at the airport here in Nazca getting ready to take my flight to see all the Nazca lines. And I have Luis Melendez here. And Luis, hi, how are you this morning?
Hi, hello, how are you?
I'm fine. Hey, I was going to ask you, you said you'd seen some strange clouds over the Nazca lines, looking like UFOs in the past?
Well, sometimes it's difficult, but sometimes you can see some clouds that look like UFOs, but I'm not so sure about that.
Sure.
No? But I just seen.
I know at Mount Shasta in Northern California in the United States, they have clouds called reticular clouds that look circular like UFOs, and they say that the clouds are actually hiding UFOs.
I didn't really understand what you have to see.
Okay, well, what kind of shapes of clouds have you seen over the Nazca lines? Have they been circular like a UFO or what?
Yeah, circular. Yeah, that was circular like UFOs, but as I said, it's difficult to know if it's really
sure.
That.
Sure. Sure. Not unless they land, come up and shake your hand saying, hey, I'm from another planet. Would you know if they were actually UFOs?
Well, I say that it looks like. I'm not so sure because it was like that. But I'm not so sure.
Sure. But this is a very dry area without any rainfall, so it's unusual to see a cloud here.
Well, it's usual in the morning.
Oh, I see.
And sometimes rains, but sometimes.
Okay. Well, Luis, thank you so much for taking the time. I'm really excited about taking the trip over the Nazca lines today.
All
thank
right.
you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And maybe you can see something different.
I hope so. I hope it's out of this world. I have just taken off in a little plane over the Nazca lines, and this is just an incredible view you can see from up here. We'll be flying all over the different figures in the Nazca lines in just a few minutes. This is incredible. We just saw a picture of an astronaut carved into the side of a mountain. Now we're looking at a monkey and a dog. Oh my gosh, there it is on the ground. Wow, this has just been such an amazing experience. We just flew over a monkey, a parrot, a monkey, rectangulars, all kinds of different animal drawings, and even an astronaut here in the Nazca lines.
Hello, friends. I hope you enjoyed that narration that I did of the Nazca lines. I wanted to add something important. I had Eric von Doniggen. He's a famous Swiss UFO fellow. Researcher from Basel, Switzerland, on my show back in August of 2015. And I really like Herr von Doniggen's work because he's a very thorough researcher. And his theory is that thousands of years ago, we had visitors from other star systems visit the Earth, and the Nazca lines were done to help them find a landing spot. You can actually see runways in the Nazca lines And they're long runways. They're probably maybe a mile or two long. And what's interesting, when you look at these runways, what Mr. Von Donegan told me back in 2 years ago, in August of 2015, is that there's 10 feet below the lines that the scientists found back in 2015 is electromagnetic radiation. And there's a whole, it's a whole runway structure beneath these lines on the Nazca lines that people don't talk about. And so he told me all about it on my radio show. If you'd like to look up his old interview, please go to my website at www.outofthisworld1150.com and look up the interviews for, I believe it was August or September of 2015. You'll find Eric Von Donegan. He's a wonderful fellow. He does great research. And I believe him, and I think that there's a reason for everything, and the reason why these figures were there to help guide these extraterrestrial visitors coming from outer space to visit here on the planet. The humans, the skulls that are in Pacaris, by the way, the elongated skulls that Brian and I talked about during the first hour, I believe were a hybridization of humans with reptilians or another extraterrestrial race. And those constitute the Pacaris people. And when the Nazca people came into the area between 100 AD to 500 AD, they viewed these people as a threat. So they genocide. They killed them off. And what was left of the area? Brian was saying during the last hour. Brian Forrester, he said that they escaped north, and eventually he said those became the Incas, which were a benevolent, very enlightened civilization. But it's an area that has so much history to it. During the trip that I'll be taking a group on at the end of January, we'll be going to, we hope to go to the Nazca Lines as well as Lake Titicaca. Now, his explanation of what goes on, he says there's a lot of UFO activity in the Lake Titicaca area. And it fits in from what people have told me about the Hollow Earth. I'm in contact with the people of the Hollow Earth, which is a Lemurian civilization, and they tell me that there's all kinds of portals down in South America through the Andean Mountains, and Lake Titicaca is one of them, where they go in and out all the time with their extraterrestrial craft. So if you'd like to come on an adventure of a lifetime, please send me an email or give me a call. I'd be happy to give you more details. On my way back from Peru, I took Aeromexico back to Vancouver. And I was very fortunate because Aeromexico, the place where I stopped was called the Pyramid of the Moon and Pyramid of the Sun in Teotihuacan. I had a day layover there. I got in the morning, and so I took the subway and buses out to Pyramid of the Moon and Pyramid of the Sun. And I'd like to go ahead and play the recording that I did there. It's very brief, but I think you'll find it interesting.
I'm here standing at the Pyramid of the Sun and the Pyramid of the Moon outside of Mexico City, and I put my hand on these ancient rocks where they used to have all kinds of ceremonies and rituals, and I can see them having these rituals. Wow, what an amazing place this is. All these pyramids, very, very ancient. You can feel the energy here. It's still very much alive. I can feel the Aztec spirit still here, but there's a lot of serenity and calm now. Not like there was a lot of violence, of course, when they were using these places for their ceremonies and they had human sacrifice, but now it's pretty calm. And the spirits also tell me, too, that they appreciate the fact that we honor them by visiting them, visiting their structures here and paying respects to them. The sacrifices they did here many years ago were actually done to please another extraterrestrial race called the Reptilians. The Reptilians were into human sacrifice. They actually looked at and still look at humans as a food source, much like we look at chicken and beef. They looked at humans as a food source to be eaten. And that's why the Aztec had these sacrifices, they're telling me now, in order to appease their so-called gods of the Reptilians who wanted to have them kill humans so they could be fed.
It's an interesting place. If you are in Mexico City, it's easy to get there. It takes a couple of hours, and it's well worth the visit. The main plaza for the Pyramid of the Sun and the Pyramid of the Moon is called the Avenue of the Dead, where they did a lot of their ceremonies. But it's an interesting place, and I urge you all to see it. Tomorrow, we've got some time left. I want to go over what I'll be doing. I'll be giving a free lecture at the Crystal Voyage Bookstore and Spiritual Center in Tacoma. It's on 38th Avenue, just 38th and Cedar, just down the way from the Tacoma Mall. And the book I'll be going over, my lecture will be called Messages from the Masters. And it contains messages from President Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Professor Einstein, Nikola Tesla, the Galactic Alliance, and Dr. Emoto, and many other great spirits. And you have to ask yourself, what would have happened, for example, if President Kennedy had not been killed? Well, Jack Kennedy, over a period of the last couple of years, told me what would have happened. He said the most important thing is that this planet is ascending into the higher dimensions. And it was starting to ascend back in the early 60s when he was president. And he did everything he could from the top down through his administration to make this country and this world a better place. He wanted to end the Cold War with the Soviet Union, for example. He wanted complete extraterrestrial and UFO disclosure 10 days before he was assassinated on November 22nd, 1963. On November 12th, 1963, he actually ordered the U.S. CIA to release all UFO and extraterrestrial information to him so he could release that to the Soviet Union and to the American public and to the world so we would have complete disclosure. But that was all stopped when, after he was assassinated, Lyndon Baines Johnson stopped that. Of course, Jack Kennedy also started issuing in 1962, what's called United States notes that were outside of the U.S. Federal Reserve. Now, the Federal Reserve, President Kennedy tells me, is a complete legal sham because it's not federal and it's not a reserve either. It's made up of 12 private banks. And these banks make money off the interest they charge us taxpayers for the monies that are issued by them. So it's not federal and it's not reserve. And it's added to our debt considerably since 1913. And President Kennedy was trying to bypass that system when he issued his own United States notes. And he had planned to get rid of the Federal Reserve completely, but his life was unfortunately cut short, and he didn't make it happen. The other thing that happened as well is that the very day he was assassinated, he had sent a French journalist to meet with Fidel Castro to discuss the normalization of relations with Cuba. And what an unfortunate waste of time and energy to be in this conflict with Cuba since 1963. The relations with Cuba have been normalized, are getting normalized now, but after, 50 or 60 years? And it was such a waste to have that happen. President Kennedy also tells me that he had issued an order to start bringing the American troops home from Vietnam. Actually, on the day he was killed, he just issued an order the previous couple of weeks before he was assassinated to bring the first 1,000 troops of American troops back home from Vietnam, because he could see it was a waste of time. He was a very wise and thoughtful man, and he couldn't see us being in a war that was going to last for eventually a guerrilla war that was a quagmire last for many years without no discernible income. So he had already started the process for that. And one of the things, too, that he would have done is to, he said that by now we would be living at least 200 to 250 years. Our lifespan would be double or triple what it is now, because much of the poverty and disease on this planet would have been eliminated. But that time now is coming, and he said that For everyone here on the planet is shifting now, and it's going, the vibrations are going higher and higher. From his perspective, he can see the points of light all over this planet, and things are really, really picking up steam. He also says that this is a time of truth, that things that are true become even more true, and those that are false become false and fall by the wayside. And you're seeing this now not only in government, but also in personal relationships as well. One of the things, too, that he's told me about, of course, is the vibration of the planet, and it's measured what's called the Schumann resonance. For tens of thousands of years, the resonance on planet Earth was at 7.8 hertz, up until September of 2016, when what's called this resonance, or the Schumann resonance, almost doubled to 13.8 hertz. Since that time, In December of last year, 2016, it went to 36 hertz. Then this January of 2017, it went to 40 hertz. In May of this year, it went up to another 120 hertz. And now it's at 180 to 190 hertz. I did a hypnotic regression with a hypnotist named Ray Zukowski in Tacoma at the Crystal Voyage Bookstore, where I'll be tomorrow from 2 to 4. And he put me under through hypnosis, and then I asked him to bring me ahead 2 or 3 years, 5 years, and 8 years. And within 2 or 3 years, the hertz level of this planet is going to jump to 800 hertz. And this is a prelude to the vibrations on this planet going even higher, and us going into the fourth, and then finally into the fifth dimension. What that means is that governments which are negative will collapse. And I'm thinking specifically of the Chinese government. That will collapse within 3 years, mark my words. And governments and relationships which don't serve for yourself for a higher purpose or are based upon a benevolent nature will also collapse as well. And so it's going to be very interesting to see what unfolds. But we have some very, very good times ahead. One of the spirits I talked to is Nostradamus, and on a show with Judy Cali a couple weeks ago from Cusco in Peru, I asked her to bring in Nostradamus. He had some interesting words, and one of the things he said was that our evolution is really speeding up very, very rapidly, and we are all powerful spiritual beings meant to create a much better and happier place. And I asked him about that because Dolores Cannon, who is a wonderful American psychic, she passed away in September of 2014. She had written a series of books back in the late 80s, in 1986, 1987, and 1988, called Conversations with Nostradamus. She took a group of about 10 to 12 different psychics, and as a group, they meditated and contacted Nostradamus back in the 15th and 16th centuries in France, and asked him to explain some of his quatrains, because he was very happy to contact her back then because his quatrains were getting misinterpreted. At that time, you can read in her books back then that a third world war was supposed to start here on this planet in the area of Bosnia and Herzegovina back in the early 90s when President Clinton got us involved there through military aid to those countries in an attempt to settle the area. The dispute of the area. But what happened after that, Nostradamus told Dolores Cannon that the United States would be involved in a full-scale war by 2003 to 2004 and 2005, with a lot of conflict here on American soil in North America as well as in Europe and elsewhere on the planet. Well, it's the world's not a perfect place right now, but a lot of those conflicts which Nostradamus wrote about in Dolores Cannon's books has simply not happened. It's not there. Sure, we've got conflicts with North Korea, but I think we're getting a lot of help off planet and from the spiritual world too. So we don't have a nuclear war with North Korea or any kind of conflict at all. I just don't see it happening, because if you look at those old books by Dolores Cannon, we should have been in a war by the year 2003 or 2004, and now it's 2017, and it's like 14 or 15 years after that. And the world, we have our problems, but we're not in a world war, and things are basically a very peaceful place. One of the things that Nostradamus talked about, and I go into this in my book, Messages from the Masters, is that after Fukushima in March of 2011, the timelines changed. They changed from a world from a path of Armageddon and World War III to a benevolent, peaceful future, very beautiful future for ourselves and our children and our children's children for many generations to come. And that's what the kind of timeline we're on now. One of the most amazing things that I found was back in the spring of 2014, when I did radiation testing of the radioactive water which had come across, which was headed for Seattle and Vancouver, Canada, and Portland, Oregon. It had come across the Pacific Ocean from Fukushima. And scientists back in the spring of 2014 were talking about it, because they said if this radiation hits the West Coast, the U.S. West Coast, and the Canadian West Coast, this area would have become completely uninhabitable with 10 times more radiation than all the bombs dropped since Hiroshima and Nagasaki since World War II. So I went out and did radiation samples, and the radiation was completely gone. And then I asked my galactic friends what had happened, and they said they had stepped in and cleaned it up completely. Since that time, I've been in touch with my with new friends in the in the hollow Earth beneath Mount Shasta, and they send their own air spacecraft out to clear up the radiation. So we just don't have the radiation now coming off the West Coast, the U.S. West Coast, or the Canadian West Coast at all. It's just gone, and it's thanks to our galactic friends that it is gone. So because they don't want us to commit suicide, they want us to continue to prosper. And they, my galactic friends also tell me that cleaning up radiation is a very old very old technique, and they've been doing it for millions of years. So it's very easy for them to step in and clean up the radiation. Sure, there are still problems with Fukushima. There is some radiation leaking into the area around the Sea of Japan, but it's not as bad as it could be because we are getting outside help. And I guess the message of all of this today is that we have a beautiful, bright future ahead of us all. And if you do have time and you are in the Tacoma or Seattle area, please come down to the Crystal Voyage Bookstore tomorrow. I'll be giving a free lecture from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. And after that, too, I'll be giving readings as well. If you're interested in coming to Peru next month, the trip is from January 27th through February 7th. If you can't make the whole time, you're welcome to come for a couple days or even a week. But it's an amazing place. And the airfares right now, as I mentioned before, are rock bottom. I think I saw one fare coming from Canada down, or Victoria or Vancouver down to Lima for only $365 U.S. dollars round trip, which is a very, very low price. And if you fly in Aeromexico, you can have the added bonus of stopping in Mexico City and visiting Teotihuacan, the Pyramid of the Moon, and the Pyramid of the Sun. It's a beautiful sunny day here in Seattle, and as I've been talking here, bringing in the other spirits, the light in this studio has gotten it's completely lit up in this beautiful white light everywhere, and I know that we have a lot of angels around us today, and I want to thank everyone so much for this, for their support of this program. The purpose of Out of This World Radio is to make this planet a much better and happier place. And I hope with today's both shows, this hour and the previous hour from 2 to 3, when we talked about Peru and the Nazca Lines and the Inca, that this marriage of the eagle, according to the Hopi prophecy, of the eagle in the United States and North America and the condor in South America will happen, because we need to connect with other spiritual people around the world. The entire planet is changing. And I know a lot of people are waking up, and the tide has turned to making this planet a much better and much happier place. 1 week from today, we'll be bringing in President Kennedy during the second hour from 3:15 to 4 p.m. We'll be talking about what's in the hidden files the government still has regarding his assassination. And I'll be bringing in several psychics, including myself and Judy Calley, to talk about what's in those files. So I'm sure you'll find that fascinating. Also, we'll be bringing in Susie Matthews of Matthew Speaks. She's a fascinating lady, and I've had her on before with Matthew Speaks. And I got a message from him that he'd like to give some messages as well. So I hope you all have a beautiful and happy day, friends, and thank you so much for supporting and listening to Out of This World Radio. Have a beautiful weekend, everyone. Bye-bye.